Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. If you're able, would you stand, please, as we show reverence and honor for the Word of God. And we're going to read this entire chapter. It's just seven verses. And what we're going to find tonight is our individual part. Last night we found that God planned before the foundation of the world what's most important to Him. And then He invested the lifeblood of His Son. And then He passed that off to His church, who of whom He called Paul and appointed him a preacher. Then we saw Him working behind the scenes providentially to accomplish this through insignificant people. So we know missions is important. So then the question is, what is my individual part? Okay, I see the big picture of what the church is supposed to be, but what is my individual part in God's plan? And we're going to find it here in this text. He says, God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah, that Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Now, here's the question. We've read the text, and I'm going to point out to you how we can see in this our individual part in this plan. But here's the question, and here's the challenge. If we can see it tonight, just knowing it is not enough. Just understanding it is not enough. Just acknowledging it is not enough. So the question tonight is, if you're not performing your individual part, if you see it tonight, if the Spirit makes it alive to you, will you commit to it? Will you commit to it? And let's pray about that, and then we'll bring this message. Father, tonight, help me to bring out of these verses what You would have, what You've put in my heart, what I think You've shown me. Help me to make it clear tonight, and then help those who would hear it. And no doubt there are many, many people here tonight who they understand their part and they're plugged into their part, they're committed to their part, they're performing their part, and yet there may be those who still have some confusion about what this life is for and what these resources that You've given us are for. And so help us tonight to understand that, and then those that need to make commitments or increase commitments, help them be willing to do that, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated if you will. Let me give you three truths from this portion of Scripture, these seven verses. The first truth is this, and these are very simple truths. The first truth is that apparently asking God for blessings is acceptable. Apparently, it's okay to ask God for blessings, because in verse 1, He says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Now, I don't know how you are, if you're like me, but sometimes when I come to the Lord and I've found something that I feel like I need, or I've found something that I desire, sometimes I'll go to the Lord about asking Him for that, and then there are times that I say to myself, why in the world would You ask for more when so many people have already so much less? Why would you come before the Lord and ask for that when so many other people have so much less than you have? But note something. Apparently, from this portion of Scripture, apparently it's acceptable to ask God for His blessings. Apparently, it's appropriate. Apparently, it's honorable. Apparently, it's not wrong, not selfish, not greedy, not sinful. Now, let me explain that to you. Why is it okay that we who are already wealthy compared to 90% of the world, why is it that we can still come without sin and ask God for more? Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts. Asking God for provisions and blessings, number one, expresses our deep dependence upon Him. You know, we don't have anybody else to go to. You think about this. There's nobody that knows you like Him. There's nobody that cares for you like Him. There's nobody that can provide for you like Him. He is our Father. Why would we not go to Him for anything and everything? And so it expresses our deep dependence upon Him. When I come before the Lord asking Him for something, just by the very fact of my coming to Him, it's saying to Him that I need Him desperately, that I cannot of myself provide the things that I need. And here's another thought. For the individual that says, well, I'm not asking Him for anything, I'll just take care of it by myself. That is very close, if not already over the line, to full-blown arrogance. You really don't know how bad you need Him, do you? I'm just saying, coming to the Lord and asking for blessings expresses our deep dependence upon Him. The songwriter said, I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I'm just telling you, it's not wrong to come to the Lord and asking Him for blessings, because it expresses our deep dependence upon Him. And it also expresses that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of light. So I would just challenge you with another thought. It's okay to ask God for blessings. It's okay to ask Him for health. It's okay to ask Him for strength. It's okay to ask Him for wisdom. It's okay to ask Him for provisions. I can remember standing in the foyer one day and a business owner came to me and he said something, and I think he felt like what he was saying was honoring to the Lord and kind of spiritual. And I didn't rebuke him for what he said, but what he said to me was this. He said, I told the Lord, You take care of me, and I'll take care of my business. And I remember thinking, I hope he's ignorant of what he just said, because if he's not ignorant, he's pretty arrogant. Because nobody can take care of him or his business like God can. And God's willing to take care of both of them if He will come to Him. And so I'm just saying to you, don't apologize for seeking blessings from the Lord, because it's apparently not wrong. This man said, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Then here's the second thought, the second truth. So number one, it's acceptable to ask God for blessings. Number two, God responds with blessings wrapped in His purpose. That's important. God responds with the blessings we ask for. We come to Him and say, we need this. We would like this. Would You give us this? Would You provide this? And He is very generous and glad to do that. But all of His blessings comes to us wrapped in His purpose. Look what He says in verse 2. He says in verse 1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. And then He says in verse 2, that. Now, that word, that, He is giving the reason or the purpose for His asking, and He's telling what He's going to do with the blessings. What You give me, this is what I'm going to do with them. And look what He says, that Thy way. Here's why I want Your blessings. That Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Do you know this portion of Scripture pictures a man coming to the Lord with hands empty and with a look on his face of expectation, and he's coming wanting his arms and his hands filled with provision. But he's not wanting those arms and those hands filled with provision so he can fill his pockets. He's wanting those arms and hands filled with provision so he can take them to the nations and give them to the nations. And the nations can have healing health of the Lord and can have the gospel given to them. That's what he says. He's saying, Lord, fill my hands so I can take what you give me to the nations for their well-being. I'm saying to you, when God gives you what you ask him for, you need to know that that came with the purpose, wrapped in the purpose of our using them for God's purpose. And what you find here is a man who gets it, a man who understands that he is our Father, that his purpose is to be primary and priority in our life, and that we have what we have so we can accomplish God's purpose of saturating the world with the gospel. And you know what's taking place when this is done? When this is being accomplished, something else that's very important to the Lord. Not only is the nations hearing the gospel, but his children are being conformed to his image. Because when you think of Christ, how do you see him? Coming from the Father with a heart's desire to do and spend himself for the will of the Father. And I'm saying to you, this man here gets it. He sees this as that it's okay to ask God for blessings, that it's okay to come before the Lord and say, I need this, I desire this, I'm begging you for this. But I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking that you would give me these provisions, and you would give me this wisdom, and you would give me this opportunity, and you would give me this talent, and you would give me this gift. And here's why I'm asking. So I can go. What did he say in verse 2? That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. I'm just telling you, if you have an ounce of spirituality, you'll come before the Lord and ask for blessings, and he'll give you those blessings. But please know, they come and they are given with his purpose in mind. It's sad to say that many of God's people take all that God gives and uses it for our own comfort. Now, God's not opposed to us living comfortably. He's not. He isn't opposed to us living comfortably unless our comfort is at the expense of what we could do for the nations. So I'm saying to you tonight, look, learn this, you read this. It's okay to ask God for blessings. He's not offended. He delights in blessing his children. But his children need to understand that the blessings of God come wrapped in his purpose, that they may know upon earth thy saving health among all nations. Now here's the third thought, very important to understanding this. The time will come. Here's the third thought. The time will come when present opportunities will end. Look at verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. See, there's a time when that's going to come when God's mercy and blessings, because he asked in verse 1 for God to be merciful, but according to verse 4, there's going to come a time when mercy will cease. Now, God will always be merciful, but the time for mercy will end. The time will come when men will stand before God, unsaved men, and stand before God and hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you. You had your life to know me. You had your life to submit to me. You had your life to yield to what I provided on Calvary, but that life is now gone." and it's time for judgment. So we need to know that asking God for blessings is okay. But he gives everything that he gives wrapped in his purpose. And there will come a time when present opportunities will end. The limited time given the nations, the time given the nations is limited. The time for the unsaved man to know the Lord, that's limited. God doesn't give us, think with me, he doesn't give us eternity to prepare for eternity. He's not given the world eternity to prepare for eternity. He's given man this life. I was in Zambia several years ago on a missions trip, and I remember being shocked when I understood the life expectancy. This was 10 or 12 years ago. The life expectancy of a male Zambian was 53 1/3 years. I don't know how that affects you, but to me that just seems like that's too short. That is way short. So they have 53 1/3 years to come to know Christ before they die. And we have the responsibility as a church member, we've been blessed of God to send those that God has called. Think with me. Let me say this correctly. We, South Knollwood Baptist Church, you as an individual member, have received of the Lord, and we have the responsibility to send those that God has called to those that God loves before they die. Before they die. You say, well, I don't have anything to do with their death. No, you won't have anything to do with their death, but you can have a big part on whether or not they live forever with the Lord. If you will take what God fills your hands and use it for God's purpose. The time given the nations is limited. The time also for us to be faithful is limited. The time you have to be faithful. You know, I'm just telling you, I know you hear this stated from time to time, but I can remember being a young man and thinking that 60 was old. 60 was way old. And I'm just telling you, it's not so old. But it went by like that. I mean, just, and you're there. And I envision us, the Bible says, you know, the Bible talks about it in 1 Corinthians 3, I think it is, that we're going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we'll never, as a saved person, you'll never stand before God in regard to condemnation. That is past. The Lord Jesus has freed us from that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But we will stand before the Lord and give an account of how we've used what He gave us. And I don't know how it will be. I envision it something like that. Here's Dale. And here's the Lord. And the Lord's going to talk to Dale about how he used what he was given. And he says something like, Dale, I remember you asking for. Yes, I did, Lord. I asked for. I asked for children. I asked for a good wife. I asked for children. I asked for provision. Yes, I asked for all of that, Lord. Well, I gave those to you with this purpose. I wanted you to use what I put in your hands for the well-being of the nations. I wanted you to use what I put in your hands so that the world would know about me. Now, Dale, let's look at what you did with what I put in your hands. And that's the judgment seat of Christ. I'm just saying to you, and we don't have eternity to do that. We just have this life. It's an old illustration, and I can't verify the truthfulness of it, and I'm just sure that you've heard it. But there's the dad, and he had two sons, one a little tyke and another one much older. And he's promised on this Saturday that he'll take these two boys wherever you want to go to eat. Mom's at a ladies' meeting. We'll go out. We'll go eat wherever you want to. Of course, they want to go to Burger King or something like that. And so dad says, that's all right. That's what we'll do. So they go and they get their big Whopper and their big order of fries and their big drink, you know, and they're sitting down, and the little fella, he's up in the seat with his feet, and he's just leaning on the table and he's eating. And then this fella, the little larger brother, he's eating too. And then there's the dad, and dad's making quick work of this Whopper and this fries and everything. And then the little gentleman, he's doing pretty good. They're focused, they're taking care of them. You know how little guys are, how they eat, kind of distracted. They don't really pay attention. They want to eat until you put it in front of them. They're watching the other kids, and they're just into everything. And so dad gets through with his, big brother gets through with his, and there's the little fella. He's just barely done anything with his. Dad takes the last slurp on his drink, and it's empty. And so he's just sitting there, and he's kind of bored, you know, but he's waiting for this little fella, trying to keep him focused on eating and stuff. And just in his boredom, he reaches over and gets a French fry from this little bitty fella and starts to eat it. And this little fella takes a defensive pose and gives that look like, these are mine. And the dad's just kind of like, and he said just immediately, you had about four thoughts, just immediately. Buddy, I gave those to you. I worked and those came to you from me. And I gave, second thought, I gave those to you because I care, I love you. I wanted you to have those. Third thought, I could take them away, every bit of them. The look you gave me, I'd be justified in picking those up right now and just dumping them, and it would be well within my rights. I could do that because I gave them, I could take them away. And the fourth thought was, you know, son, if you loved me like I loved you, you wouldn't mind me having a portion of what I gave you. I'm saying to you, God's filled our hands. He's filled them full. But he certainly has a purpose, and we have a limited time to do with what he's put in our hands to accomplish his purpose. Now, you know tonight what God's purpose is for you having what you have. What are you going to do?